I now call to order the Shoreline City Council regular meeting for Monday, October 13th, 2025. Will you please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Roberts. Deputy Mayor Mark.
Present.
Councilmember Ramsdale.
Present.
Councilmember Scully.
Present.
Councilmember Onomasu.
Present.
Councilmember Poby.
Here.
Councilmember Robertson.
Here.
Thank you. The next item is approval of tonight's... Oh, before we go there, Mayor Roberts told me he would be somewhat late, so we're starting without him, but I'm not going to ask for him to be excused yet. The next item is approval of tonight's agenda. If there is no objections or comments, the agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. So it is adopted. Next is the report of the city manager.
Good evening, Council. I want to start today's meeting by sharing that Shoreline's annual Hamlin Halloween Haunt is this Friday, October 17th at Hamlin Park. Join us for spooky songs and stories around a campfire, ride the hay wagon, pose in your costume at the photo booth, and play Halloween games. The first half of this event is dedicated to activities with reduced sensory stimulation. Learn more about upcoming special events happening this fall and winter by visiting shorelinewa.gov/special events. Come out this Saturday, October 18th, for Shorelake Arts 6x6 Northwest Visual Arts Show at Shoreline Community College. The art display is free to view and family-friendly. All are welcome. All art is 6x6 inches and costs $36 to purchase at the event. The City of Shoreline is excited to announce a community planting event in partnership with the Master Builders Association of King and Snohomish Counties. The event will take place next Friday, October 24th at Paramount School Park. The Green Shoreline Partnership and Planting for a Better Tomorrow are coming together to help increase tree canopy within the city. For more information and to register for this event, please visit mbaks.com/community/planting-a-better-tomorrow. There are only two Saturdays left to visit the Shoreline Farmers Market before the season ends on the 25th. Please visit the market for fresh pastries, seasonal fruits and vegetables, flowers, and more. The market is held at the Shoreline Park and Ride from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have two upcoming Shoreline Walks events next week. Join us on Thursday, October 23rd at 10 a.m. for the Hamlin Park Walk. The next walk is the Ridgecrest Neighborhood Walk on Saturday, October 25th at 10 a.m. Learn more about Shoreline Walks and see other upcoming events at shorelinewa.gov/shorelinewalks. And finally, just a couple of public reminders. The Planning Commission will meet on Thursday, October 16th in the Council Chamber at 7 p.m. The next Council meeting is Monday, October 27th at 7 p.m. The Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Tree Board's next meeting is Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. And for more information about these upcoming meetings, please visit shorelinewa.gov/calendar. And that concludes the City Manager's report.
Thank you. Are there any council reports this evening? Councilmember Adamasu.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I attended the Shoreline Chamber of Commerce State of the Chamber update. It was a well-attended event, sharing and honoring the many achievements and celebrations made possible by chamber members serving our local business community.
Thank you. Councilmember Scully.
Two quick things. I did a chat with Cindy, which is State Representative Ryu's town hall meeting. She holds them in various cities and invites a council member from that city to join her. It's always interesting to hear community questions. A lot of interest in what we're doing with the pool and a lot of concern about how federal government and state government cuts might impact local programs. And leaving there, I saw the sign for the Community Trees program, and so stopped in and just chatted with the folks who were there, either as citizens or staff. And that's a program where Shoreline provides trees to local folks to plant, along with a watering bag so they survive the summer, and training on how to do it. And I learned that the Soak It Up program, which is the rain garden component of that, the funds have been completely expended. We've had so much interest in it, we're out of money. So I promised them, looking pointedly left and right, that I will get them more money sometime soon, because it sounds like that's a program that's really working.
Any other council reports? I have one, and I may have two. Let me think. I have two. I'm sorry. I attended the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, which is part of King County meeting. In it, they described a couple of things which may be of interest. First, the King County Council did approve the rate increase, which is slightly more than 8% just on the King County portion. It doesn't include the haulers portion, which I know nothing about. And they'll be starting to put information on that. This will happen in 2026, and they'll start putting information on our bills coming up to it. So we can look for that and see exactly how it impacts us, because I'm not sure. The other thing that they mentioned is that the Factoria station, you know, where you can haul your own garbage to, the Factoria station will be closed for 3 to 4 months this winter. And Shoreline will be one of the two stations where landscape debris is diverted to. So just wanted to let people know about that. And then I really had a fun time going to the 7th annual music event that was held at the Shoreline Community College that the city is one of the people supporting. It was so exciting to learn about the impact of the arts on our community and our state. Apparently, Washington State is the number one state in the country for creative people and generating money as part of that. So I thought that was really cool. And at that, I will stop talking after my council report. Ha! Next up is public comment. This is the portion of the meeting where members of the public may address the City Council on agenda items or any other matter pertaining to the city business for 3 minutes or less, depending on the number of people wishing to speak. This total public comment period will be no more than 30 minutes. If more than 10 people are signed up to speak, each speaker will be allotted 2 minutes. Please note that there is also an opportunity for public comment regarding resolution number 554, designating a sister city following the staff presentation. Ms. Smith, Simulchuk Smith, how many individuals have signed up to speak?
So there are 7 individuals signed up for item 9A, so they'll speak during this public comment period, and then there's 2 signed up for after the staff report for the sister cities. So I'm going to call the first 3, so you can line up at the podium. We've got David Gilland, Gordon Black, and Margaret Elwood.
Welcome.
Hello. Dave Gland, Echo Lake Shoreline. As my little introduction there shows, this is in my neighborhood. This is not quite a route I take often, but I bike to Costco. If I go to Costco, I bike. And I like a lot of what I see in both plans. Obviously, one of them is pretty expensive, but it's also pretty nice. The one way is excellent. But my main thing is I love to see this kind of infrastructure, and I love to see Shoreline pursuing it, but I don't know that I would put it here. I run a bike valet program at the farmers market where you can park your bikes, and I will watch them, or my volunteers will watch them. And I also ran one at the North City Jazz Walk, that event they did. And every person I talked to in North City said that they wanted bike infrastructure on 180th, because people go 40 miles an hour down that hill, and there's a sidewalk for only about 80% of it. Even though I live in Echo Lake, I think I'd rather this infrastructure go in right there at 180th to connect the station to the North City downtown, for lack of a better word. This is a lovely bit of infrastructure, and it would be great for all of the bike lanes to be like this. But in terms of what we're spending money on first, it doesn't really connect anything except to it gets you a slightly more comfortable ride to 104, which is a giant death trap that is uncomfortable to users of almost any skill level. So I would rather see it there. I'd rather see it on, I believe, 5th, where there's a bike lane, 155th, but there's nothing in front of Shoreline South Station. I'd, in fact, rather see this kind of protection in front of Shoreline North Station, where I constantly see Lyft drivers parked halfway in the bike lane and halfway in the travel lane so that you have to enter oncoming traffic to get around them. I don't love that. And that's where I would love to see these flex posts go in, even though I don't love flex posts. I don't really think they're protection. The West Seattle Bridge had an incident. I think it was West Seattle. It was an incident in West Seattle where a drunk driver took out a bunch of Jersey barriers. If they'd been flex post, he'd have run over them and not even felt it. Like, I think we could do a little bit better. But this is the sort of direction that I do want to see the city go in, and I'm super happy to see this kind of infrastructure being pursued, even though I think we could do better and we could maybe put it in better spots. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Roberts and members of the City Council. I'm Gordon Black. I live in Edmonds. I'm on the board of North Sound Bicycle Advocates, which promotes greater bicycle usage in North King and South Snohomish counties. As you know, we have championed the building of a safer connection between Shoreline and Edmonds. Our board has reviewed the proposal for the improvements being considered for North 200th Street. In general, we are major proponents of any road changes that make cycling safer and more appealing to our wider group of people. But we also recognize acutely that public budgets are not unlimited. Shoreline in general is to be commended for steps it has taken to improve the road network for cycling. I have heard staff and council members in this chamber talk about unfunded projects. Are improvements on North 200 not worthy? Are they more worthy than other projects previously identified by city staff? We are open to being convinced, but at this juncture, we would have to say that perhaps it would be preferable to look at the street more holistically as part of wider improvements for the interurban trail, including the bridge over SR 104 that I know many of this council supports. While I personally and our group hates to say no or even wait on any cycling infrastructure improvements, this is one of those times where it might be appropriate to hold off on pending developments for a study to look at the route to connect to the potential bridge over SR 104. This council has already allocated some money for that study, as has King County Council through its parks levy. So while we love the idea of the steps that Shoreline is taking, and we think that this project might be something worth considering in the future, right now we would encourage the City Council to wait until the study regarding the route between Edmonds and Shoreline is more explored, including how the two could be connected by a bridge. So with that, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Margaret Elwood. I live in Edmonds. I too am on the board of the North Sound Bicycle Advocates. And basically what he said, I'm all for any improvements to bicycling infrastructure that makes it safer, especially for kids to ride. And right now, I would not recommend that any child, no matter how well protected by parents and grandparents, would attempt to ride from Echo Lake down to Lake Ballinger. It's just not safe. And improving those two blocks makes it a little bit safer, but it's still going uphill for those kids, and I wouldn't take them on that trip. I do want to thank and really commend the planners and the staff who came up with the plan and the idea and the analysis. I really wish that Edmonds would follow through to that extent. Really, really good work, and I admire it so much. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and maybe later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we've got Patrick Deegan. Jonathan Garner, Bonnie Berry, and David Streisa.
My name, welcome. Good evening. My name is Patrick Deegan, and I'm an Echo Lake Shoreline resident. I was just reading the agenda this afternoon, and I saw that one of the items was a study of a West Echo Lake dock. And I don't know if that's, I don't think that's a good expenditure of money for the study for the, a dock there. I think if we're going to put a dock in a fishing dock, or no, it's not a, or a viewing dock, it should be on the in the Echo Lake Park side. There's a, the I think it's about 6 feet to the water on the park side, and it's, I don't know, is it 30, 50 feet that has to be developed on the West Echo Lake Park. There's no parking at the West Echo Lake Park. I'm an advocate for other changes. I'd like to use that money to put in a drinking fountain at Echo Lake Park, at our Echo Lake Park. I've advocated for this for a few years. And I know the money can't go, it's hard, you have money for this job, not money for this job. But I think I read that the parks bond was for these five parks, and which West Echo Lake was not one, but it said it could be used for design and improvement at existing or new parks. That's what I read. And I think this could be designed at an existing park at Echo Lake Park. I just feel it's a little bit impractical to have a dock on the water on that undeveloped part. And I wish you'd consider, if you've visited that park, it's nearly impassable currently, but I know I've been down there, but it's, think about whether you'd really want people to walk all the way down there to have a viewing, to have a dock. We've already got fishermen, a lot of fishermen that ask for a dock on the regular park side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Hello, everybody. I'm Jonathan Garner. I'm Shoreline resident, homeowner in Echo Lake. I'm in a really tough position because I'm echoing a lot of people's thoughts here. I'm a commuter cyclist. I'm a recreational cyclist. I have been for over 30 years of my life. But what I'm seeing on this issue tonight is that it's just not time yet. We have so many other parts of the city where there are lacking infrastructure. What I'm seeing of this plan is just an upgrade to existing infrastructure. I stand with a lot of people in the 2021 to 2022 study as the transportation element that resoundingly say a lack of facilities is what prevents them from riding a bicycle. I grew up in a small town where there was zero bicycle infrastructure. It was a choice I made, it was a choice my parents had to make to allow me to do this, to support me, understanding the risk. I grew up riding a bicycle without infrastructure. I've learned how to be an assertive rider. It's a privilege that I hold. But I don't think that we need to allow our citizens to have to learn that way anymore. There are so many parts of the city that are missing bicycle infrastructure. And seeing the idea of putting in an upgrade to existing infrastructure is like me tonight wearing this coat to protect me from the cold weather. But the upgrade would be like if I put on a rain jacket over this warm coat and a hat, when all of my neighbors in the southeast part of the city and other parts of the city don't have a coat at all to stay warm for the winter. So please, not yet. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Bonnie Berry, Shoreline. I'm speaking on behalf of Save Shoreline Trees tonight. We support the work of the bicycle supporters to make Shoreline more bike friendly. In reading the staff report regarding the addition of bike lanes along 200th, we're unsure if trees will be affected by this product. SST understands that the street trees are under the jurisdiction of Public Works, and therefore no tree replacements are required for trees removed. We also understand from past experiences with transportation projects the need to ask these questions very early in a project. Therefore, while we support this project, we ask that a tree removal report and tree replacement plan be provided before council decides to fund the project. The loss of tree assets are part of the cost of adding width to the roadways. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, David Stugstra, Shoreline resident. This morning, a distracted driver hit my friend while he was biking on his way to work. I think we should build protected bike lanes, not just here, but everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are all the people who have...
We had one more.
We have one more?
Okay. Yes. So, Tina Haig.
Hi, thanks for taking my comment. My name is Tina Wong, and it's not going to be about bicycling, although I was a longtime bicycling advocate. I am here to talk about my own tragedy. I own a condo in Shoreline, and I want to know why there's no oversight for HOAs in Shoreline or in Washington or much of the United States. I realize that many HOAs have good intentions, but there are a lot of nefarious ones who violate laws and who put people's lives in tremendous risk. I bought a home in 2022 of May and had to escape 9 days later due to toxic mold coming from the attic and the chimney. And while the HOA remediated, they did not complete the job. And I kept complaining about problems and kept getting sicker. I tried to return home, and then I tried to just minimize my interaction with the attic and roof above me, which I have no access to. It's their jurisdiction. I thought I had done it successfully, but I was very, very sick for the 3 years that I lived there. And then I had another chimney leak in 2024, and then another major mold outbreak this past winter that again had me escaping from my home. And I can't occupy my home. I can't live there. I can't insure it. I can't make it safe for occupation. I can't send up a mold testing company up there. I can't do a thing because nobody regulates the HOA. I have called so many departments. The attorney general told me I have to hire my own lawyer. This is after 3 years of not being able to work because I've been so sick, of having to pay for my own medical expenses because traditional medicine can't help me, after having to pay for remediation expenses as well, having to pay for much extra housing for 8 months, and now for another, I've owned the property for 3 years, I've only lived in it for two. This is how people become homeless. And I wanna know, why is there no oversight over HOAs? Another thing that they have violated the HOA laws is that I asked, I've repeatedly asked for records, and they're supposed to give them to me within 2 weeks. I've made 20 records requests, and I still don't have most of the records. And so now I have to hire a lawyer, and I'm in deep, deep debt, and it just keeps getting worse and worse because there's no help from government or anywhere to help me have oversight. So I want to let you know that my path is a path to homelessness, and I'm lucky that I have a mom that's supporting me, but this is how people can become homeless when you have HOAs that violate laws and have no oversight. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Those are all the people who have signed up to speak. Is anyone in the audience who hasn't spoken like to address the council tonight? Seeing none, we will proceed with the agenda. The next item is approval of the consent calendar. Is there a motion?
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Will the clerk please conduct a vote?
Councilmember Ramsdale.
Aye.
Mayor Roberts.
Aye.
Councilmember Robertson.
Aye.
Councilmember Poby.
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mork.
Aye.
Councilmember Adamasu.
Aye.
And Councilmember Scully.
Why am I always last? Aye.
It's random. I don't know.
The motion passes unanimously, and I will say it is random. The next is an item on our agenda is action on resolution number 554, and there is a staff report.
Okay, so Jessica Semelchuk-Smith, City Clerk. And this evening, I'm presenting to you action on resolution number 554, which is designating Acropong, Ghana as Shoreline's sister city. So just a little bit of background. In August of 2024, the City Council passed resolution number 528, which encouraged the formation of a Shoreline sister city association. And part of that resolution required that the new formally formed association become a nonprofit, elect a board of directors, and then adopt bylaws and other formal plans. So in August of this last year, this past summer, I should say, the association informed the city staff that they had met all the criteria in resolution number 528, and that made way for the council to adopt a Shoreline sister city policy, which you did last week on October 6th. In the meantime, the Shoreline Sister City Association notified the city manager of their recommendation to designate Acropong, Ghana as Shoreline sister city. So in the sister city's policy, there's a number of criteria used for evaluating a city to become a sister city. That includes existence of an organization that can work closely with the Shoreline Sister City Association, also having some geographical similarities, a history of informal relationship between the two cities, and then a common ethnic or cultural heritage. Also an interest in exchanging culture and sharing views on issues of governance. And lastly, the city needed to be in good political standing. So the Shoreline Sister City Association informed us that Acropong has a sister city association and members of the community that are willing to engage and communicate with Ghanaians across the world. There's also other organizations not affiliated with the association that are willing and already engaged with the Shoreline Sister City Association. In terms of geography, Acropong is also a mid-sized city and is considered suburban and within a couple hours from a major metropolitan area, which mimics Shoreline's closeness to a major metropolitan area as well. Also, Shoreline has a growing African immigrant population. And then we were informed that the relationship between Shoreline and Acropong actually started back in April in 2024, I should say, with the Shoreline Sister Cities Association, one of the major events being an event that invited the Eastern Regional Minister back in June to come to the city. And that's where there was conversation about shared priorities. Those were affirmed. And then lastly, I wanted to say that Acropong is a democratic nation and maintains full diplomatic relations with the U.S. So that's how Acropong meets the criteria. So the overall high-level benefits of this relationship would be culture exchange and enrichment, educational and youth engagement opportunities, economic and trade collaboration, tourism and heritage promotion, and then community development and knowledge sharing. Because this item is on your agenda for the first time this evening and on for action, Council Rule 6.1B allows for public comment following the staff presentation. So, Mayor, if you take an opportunity for that, and then afterwards, if the step would be for you to discuss and take action on the resolution.
Thank you. I believe there have been people signed up for this agenda item. So if the clerk who's doing both roles.
I'm going to have to go over there for a moment.
If you have signed up, please line up behind the podium. And when your name is called, begin your testimony with your name and city of residence, please.
Okay, so we've got two, Laura James and Kathleen Russell.
And if you'd like to testify on this item, please come, even if you haven't signed up, please come and line up behind the podium. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Laura James. I am a Shoreline resident and the current president of the Shoreline Sister City Association. I'm here in support of Acropong being our sister city. As mentioned, we started our relationship a few months ago, and that partnership, as word is getting out, continues to grow. We already have community members that are starting to donate artifacts from their time in Ghana, one of which grew up in Ghana or was there as Ghana gained their independence. So there are a lot of very momentous times that are coming to the surface, and we can't wait to start educating the community on this. Lastly, I want to say that I truly feel like the stars are aligning because the Ghana's national soccer team has solidified their spot in the World Cup, and if all things work out, we might be able to host them here in Shoreline if they come in 2026. December 5th is when we'll find out. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. Kathleen Russell, resident of Shoreline. I support Council adopting resolution number 554 designating Akrapong, Ghana, as Shoreline's sister city. The description of Akrapong and benefits are included in the summary of 8A, a population of approximately 30,000, a population known for peaceful nature, humility, and respect for others, with a geography that includes a lush forest landscape. The association with Akrapong complements Shoreline's policy as a welcoming city and acknowledges the local Ghanaian community. Given that there is value in international contact and exchange with other cultures, this is appropriate and beneficial for Shoreline participation. I hope that there will be a long and happy friendship between Shoreline and Akrapong.
Thank you. Those are all the people who signed up to speak. Is there anyone online today? No. Okay. Does anyone else wish to address the council at this time? Seeing none, I'll turn to council discussion. Is there a motion? Councilmember Poby.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take this one. I move that to approve resolution number 554 designating Akrapong, Ghana as sister city with the city of Shoreline.
I second that.
And to your motion.
I'm delighted that Councilmember Poby lit the fire on this effort and that there has been so much community excitement and support around it. I have so much curiosity around the program and the relationship. I'm excited to see how it evolves, excited to see what teams are drawn on December 5th, and so much more to come. And I'm really also curious to know what they hope to gain from us and what they are excited to learn about our community as well. So thank you. I look forward to supporting this.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councilmember Scully.
I had the privilege a few years ago of hosting a joint session with the Sierra Leonean ambassador who reached out to cities in our area and just wanted to do a joint session. And Shoreline was the first one to step up. And I invited Councilmember Poby, who's from Ghana, to do that. And there were probably 30 or 40 people in the room who were all Sierra Leonean immigrants who were really interested in knowing what was going on in Sierra Leone, but also about what's going on in Shoreline. And one of the ambassador's charges to the crowd was, don't let this be the last time you're in this building. And I really thought, yes, but that's not just the responsibility of all the communities that are out there. And the more we can do to form connections, we're a melting pot or a salad bowl or however you want to phrase it, nation, and we need to get all those communities engaged. And showing an interest in other nations, I think, is a great way to do that. But I must tell you that I just learned that Akrapong is known for its peppered snails recipe, and I'm not sure I'm ready.
Councilmember Poby.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure how I can beat that, but thank you, Councilmember Scully. Yeah, I would say that huge appreciation and gratitude to all council members, mayor and deputy mayor, for the great support. It's been a very long journey, but tonight we all get the opportunity to make history as we move forward with this resolution. Just wanted to touch on one component, that's the educational component that Councilmember Robertson mentioned. When we started, we met with directors Emily Williams and Sarah Bentnell, and they were just very, very productive in putting all the documentations together. So shout out to them. and what we heard when the minister for the Eastern region. So the region is synonymous to state, and so Akropong is within the region. So when you hear Eastern region, when the minister came, one of her focus was on education. And what we're looking to do is to create a huge relationship between the school district and the people back home in Akropong. That is what they are looking to get from us. And so we are going to get a lot of cultural education whilst they get the education, if that makes sense. Lastly, I wanted to say this is a door opening for all members or immigrants in the city of Shoreline. We can have multiple sister cities. It doesn't matter where, who, but as long as there's a need for that, we can move forward to establish that. So first of all, each and every one of you, welcome to Akropong.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councilmember Adamasin.
I especially like that the community of Akropong would like to focus on areas of education, arts, youth engagement, cultural tourism, economic partnerships, small business development, and crafts, which closely aligns with Shoreline's. I support the adoption of Resolution 554.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none. We're all getting our steps in today.
Yes.
Will the clerk please conduct a vote?
Councilmember Scully.
Aye.
Sorry. Councilmember Ramsdale.
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mork.
Aye.
Mayor Roberts.
Aye.
Councilmember Adamasu.
Aye.
Councilmember Povey.
Aye.
Councilmember Robertson.
Aye.
And that motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is discussion of the North 200 Street or Interurban Trail Connection Protected Bike Lanes. This discussion item is sponsored by Councilmember Scully and Ramsdale, and there is a staff report.
All right. Good evening, Council. I'm Kendra Dudinsky, the city traffic engineer.
Welcome.
Okay, so this agenda item was sponsored by Council Members Ramsdale and Scully, as was noted. Trails are meant to be comfortable for bicyclists of all ages and abilities, and the Interurban Trail, as has been discussed in the commentary today, becomes on-street bike lanes at Ashworth and 200th between there and Meridian Ave North. So there's a relative gap for less comfortable bicyclists in this otherwise very high quality bike facility. The transportation element of the comprehensive plan was adopted in late 2022 and sets a vision for this for safe and comfortable bike facilities throughout the city. And as part of the outreach series that was conducted with the TMP transportation element update, the community did indicate that they would bike more if there were more comfortable facilities. Since there are so many existing gaps throughout the city, meaning there is no bike infrastructure on many streets throughout Shoreline, this particular segment was not identified as a priority within the T for upgrades. And then as additional context, there have been no car versus bicyclist collisions reported along 200 Street. So the traffic safety plan that we update annually has not identified this segment as a priority either, and I'll knock on wood for that. So Council Members Ramsdale and Scully have asked staff to evaluate protected bike lane options for North 200 Street between Ashworth Avenue North and Meridian Ave North. These options that we've put together will be discussed tonight. The reason that we are framing it up now is to inform a potential mid-biennium budget amendment. So that's the timing piece. So first, this is fairly self-explanatory, the no-build scenario. So you can just see what is out there today between Ashworth Avenue North and Meridian Avenue North. From the south side to the north side, there's an existing on-street bike facility. It is quite constrained in some places, I will note. The effective usable width is about 4 feet in some very pinched sections, which makes it even less comfortable. There's then 11-foot, roughly speaking, vehicle lanes, the additional or the bike lane on the north side of the road, and then on-street parking on the along the north side curb lane. And then notably, or not notably, but intuitively, there's no impact to existing budget with the no-build option. This is the one-way protected bike lane option we've crafted, and so this is showing a roughly 6-foot bike lane on the south side, and it's matching on both sides. So 6-foot bike lane buffered by horizontal hatchered area and vertical pylons, as well as 11-foot vehicle lanes, and then it's mirrored on the other side. This option is generally the preferred option from a technical perspective based on recent guidance from the AASHTO bike guide and other sources. It's more intuitive to both users and drivers in terms of looking out for the sort of two-way, the traffic that's traveling with the intuitive direction of travel compared to the two-way option. The full project cost is estimated at this level is estimated to be $390,000. There's lots of other analysis and design that would need to happen. This is just a very conceptual idea of what the project would cost. But there's additional things that we need to glean, like how does trash pickup occur? We need to make sure that deliveries can still occur safely and efficiently as well. So that'll take additional coordination and just thinking through to really figure out how that's going to occur. It also notably requires removal of on-street parking, which is likely to generate some interest from the surrounding community. So that would be tackled during outreach if this becomes a funded project. The two-way protected bike lane option, this would basically put the both directions of travel in of the bike lanes on the north side of the street, which is to say that there's essentially a contraflow bike lane next to the vehicle traffic, if that makes sense. There's a few of these facilities throughout the region, along Green Lake, for example, if you've been through there. We're not recommending this option based on the context of the street in terms of the technical kind of safety aspects. It's a little bit less intuitive for drivers that are approaching from side streets or turning to and from side streets. And so that can tend to lead to a little bit more conflict. And that's also true for pedestrians that are crossing the bike facility. They may not think to look, to anticipate bikes coming in the, opposite direction from travel, the typical travel flow. The estimated impact or project cost for this one is around $1.16 million. I have reserved a plan view slide if you want to really dig into why that is, but essentially it becomes a little bit tricky at the signalized intersection of Meridian Avenue North. So we have to figure out how to cross that contraflow lane, and to do that safely really is going to require rebuilding that northwest corner. And to that point, this is the only option that would likely have some modest tree impacts, although we're not certain what that would look like at this point. So, like the other option, this would also require further evaluation. There's also a transit stop along the north side that would need to be accounted for through either a transit island or some other kind of novel design. All of these components lead to the higher costs, but the additional operational impacts of trash pickup and mail delivery is also something we'd need to figure out with this option too. And similarly requires removal of on-street parking. So in summary, fairly intuitive, no build, no increased impact to maintenance activities or cost. The one-way protected bike lane option does fill the safety and continuity gap, so it does achieve the outcome that the protected bike lanes are intended to achieve, which is to make things feel more comfortable and safer for bicyclists. It is the safer and lower cost option of the two build options. And there's a slight increased maintenance impact that would need to be analyzed further. We put a placeholder cost in, but that would get further vetted during design. And the estimated cost of the project would be about $390,000. And then conversely, the two-way option is still serving to increase safety relative to baseline. So that's worth considering, but it is at a higher cost and generally less recommended compared to the street context that we're working in here. There's an increased maintenance impact with that option too, and the total project cost estimate of $1.16 million. So next steps, council can discuss the merits and trade-offs of a mid-biennium budget adjustment for a North 200 Street protected bike lane capital improvement project. I do want to note that if it's funded, design would likely not begin until at least 2028. I believe there is an error in the staff report, so I just want to note that. I think we said 2027 in the staff report. Additional work during design would be needed to determine solutions to delivery, trash collection, and maintenance challenges, as I've discussed. And no specific outreach has been conducted yet, so that's just putting that out there. Things like tree impacts, that all would come with additional analysis. And that's all.
Thank you. Councilor Renzo.
So thank you for that excellent report, Ms. Studinski. And also thank you for members of the public for expressing your concerns, both in support of the of this biannual amendment budget request. Also thanks for the folks, all the folks who wrote in letters in support of this biannual budget amendment as well. So I am in favor of the less expensive option of the one-way protected bicycle lane, both for safety reasons and cost. My primary motivation for introducing this amendment is to improve bicycle and pedestrian safety by connecting the missing section of the interurban trail on North 200 Street. Currently, when cyclists reach the end of the interurban on the North 200 Street, the only direct method to resume travel on the interurban is by biking on a narrow, unprotected bicycle lane on 200. This is particularly daunting for many cyclists, especially those biking with their children, and we've heard from many members of the public who wrote in regarding that, many recreational riders and seniors as well. In addition to the safety concerns, is that 200th is often congested on weekends and due to Costco and Home Depot shoppers, and on weekdays for commuters picking up a bus at the Aurora Transit Center. And when we're most likely when we're going to be seeing families using the interurban, it's going to be on those weekends when that 200th is extremely busy. And I'm also very familiar with 200th because I ride my bike to work very frequently, and I take the interurban up to 200th, and I see all that traffic on the weekends because I do see, I work on Friday and Saturday, so I'm very familiar with how busy that gets. The other studies show a dramatic increase in ridership when protected bicycle lanes are present. In Seattle, ridership jumped over 400% after the city upgraded a key corridor from a painted bike lane to a protected version. A University of New Mexico study of over 14,000 city blocks showed a 460% increase in ridership when protected bike lanes are present, and that includes flexible bollards. I mean, the U.S. Department of Transportation study looked at flexible bollards, and there was a reduction in bicycle crashes by close to 50%. And so regarding cost, this project will require one-time funding and a small annual maintenance cost. This will benefit our community all year round in years to come. And I just really hope this is a start. I think some other folks mentioned 180th. I think that's a great idea. I would love to see the whole city, wherever there's bicycle lanes, to have protected bicycle lanes to protect cyclists. But this is a very limited area. This is almost like a pilot project to see how does it work, what's the cost going to be for the community. One last point is I hope that a pedestrian bridge over North 205th Street will become a reality sooner rather than later. This will be another important step in improving access to the interurban trail connecting King and Snohomish counties. Unfortunately, Councilmember Scully has lots of experience with bridges. We're looking at maybe 10 years from now, if it's ever built. And as far as kind of like folks are saying, hey, wait, hold on, I think this might be overkill. I think that for me, the analogy would be I'm going outside wearing my underwear, and I'd like to have some pants and a jacket to wear. And I see that the equivalent on how protected bike lanes can protect us. This would be a significant improvement for our community. So that's why I'm supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Adamasi.
Thank you, Council Members Ramsdell and Scully, for bringing this forward for us to discuss. I think bike safety is a very important issue in our city. And I also want to thank Ms. Dudinsky. You are awesome, talented expertise in all of this, so thank you for your report. And I really appreciate the bird's eye view maps. For some reason, I tend to understand those better than the other cross-section ones, so thank you for providing those. I've got four questions. The city is in the process of creating safer bike lanes. The report mentions the potential for the city to either buy a mini sweeper. Could you possibly maybe contract out a bike lane sweeper like other cities do for bike safety? Because when you're riding, especially on our hills, I think coming downhill and hitting a branch can be deadly if you get catapulted into traffic. Are there mini sweepers that can be used on both sidewalks and bike lanes?
Yeah, good question. So yeah, I think one thing to note is we can still maintain the sweeping exercises by putting in removable bollards. It's just an exercise of then taking the posts out before we sweep, which is cumbersome, obviously. Yeah. The answer to your question is yes, the mini sweepers, and in fact, Parks is interested in purchasing a mini sweeper and is making plans to do so, or submit that as a budget request at some point in time. Because we do have other facility needs. We have wide sidewalks and trails and pathways throughout the city that do need sweeping too. And so it would be dual purpose in that respect. Yes, definitely. And in terms of contracting out, I'm sure that that exists. I have not looked into it, but we would certainly explore that as a potential option. Yep.
Okay, so positive then, a mini sweeper either contracted out or the city buying could be used on both the sidewalks and bike lanes. Thank you for that. Second question is, would reducing the one-way protected bike lane down to a 4 to 5 foot lane with a 2 foot buffer with the bollards be less costly than $390,000?
No, the cost is not influenced by the width. The cost stays the same. It's the same amount of striping removal and striping reinstallation and bollards either way. It's just where you're allocating the width. So you basically all of the existing striping that's out there today under kind of any condition would have to be completely blasted off. And that's a pretty cumbersome effort to do to remove existing channelization that way for striping. So it has to get removed, and the traffic control to do that is pretty significant, and then put back on again. And so no, that just shifts the things around in space, but not the total quantity. Yeah.
Thank you. Third question, is there a way to configure if you left the existing bike lanes, but someone wrote in about when the bikes are turning left onto the inner urban, they have to merge into the general purpose lane. Is there a way to fix that problem?
I don't think I read that comment, and I didn't fully understand where the issue was that they were describing, if it was referencing the Ashworth intersection or the Meridian Ave kind of east of there as it peels off to the inner urban that's by Ballinger Commons. I wasn't sure which end of the project that was in reference to. Both ends have their challenges. And would definitely be evaluated further during design. And I think that would actually be a great opportunity for the outreach component, is how specifically at those locations do we deal with the crossing? Yeah.
Okay, and then my last question is, are there trees greater than 24-inch diameter potentially impacted by either of these plans? And you said that you'd look into that, like, if it was go on to the next stage.
Yeah, I think what I can say right now is the one-way option definitely does not. That's all within the existing curb to curb. The two-way cycle track option on the north side of the street requires some corner work at Meridian and 200th, which would theoretically have some impacts to the trees right behind the sidewalk on that corner. And some of them are significant, yes.
Okay, and my last comment is, this is a lot of money for two blocks, yes, of protected bike lanes. So when we look at our general fund mid-biennium funds. You know, we're going to be weighing this against affordable housing, homelessness, other issues. So it's a large money item for a two-block bike lane. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scully.
Thank you. I wanted to add on to Councilmember Ramsell's comments by sort of putting it in context of like why we're having this study session now and what the ask would be. So we're a two-year budget cycle, and a mid-buy is an evaluation whether we have not as much money as we thought or whether we've got a little bit extra. And my understanding is this year we have some extra, and we have to decide what to spend that on. And we don't really have sort of open-ended funnels that we just pour money into and it comes out the other side, right? I mean, we can't just say we're going to put this in affordable housing or we're going to put this in homelessness. We have to have a specific project that we allocate specifically to. So I joined with Councilmember Ramsdell at his request to take a hard look at this and see if this is a specific project we might want to fund. If we don't fund this, then we either fund something else, some other specific project, or we just leave more of a surplus than we really need. So that's sort of why. And I was convinced this is a problem because we went out and walked it. And it tracked with my memory of when I first moved here with my kids who are now in their mid-20s, but who were quite young at the time. And I was so excited about the Interurban Trail because I wanted a chance for them to be able to ride. And Burke-Gilman is way too crowded with bicyclists. Other places are inconsistent. And it was great until we got to this point. And then it was riding with them like we used to do on the Burke-Gilman. I was scared the whole time and they were fine, but as a dad, I hated it. And I just thought, how did this happen, you know? So we can, and we often do, tie ourselves in knots about sort of which project is most important. And I don't know, because we as a council kind of have to take them as they come. And this one came to us, we took a hard look at it. I'm convinced it's a problem. And I'm convinced that although the high dollar solution would be too much money, that the $390,000 for what is, to my knowledge, really the only gap on the interurban that I find just really offensive. And there are other parts like 180th which are as or more troubling, but Burke-Gilman for me would be a pretty great route from start to finish if we can get this little section completed. So for me, it's worth it. But again, we're gonna be considering this along with everything else at the mid-buy, and we may turn out that council doesn't prioritize it. But I did want to make sure we had a careful study so we knew what we were buying if we do decide to spend money on this.
Thank you. Councilmember Robertson.
Thank you, everyone. And I do want to start by saying just the last couple of meetings here, I really genuinely appreciate the opportunity to talk about these potential upcoming budget items in a setting that is, feels conversational and informational and not crammed together with, you know, 15 other things on the same night. So thanks to everybody. I don't know if it works for staff, but this setup works for me very well. One of the big questions I had coming into this was, you know, why this particular stretch? And I appreciate the comments that we've gotten from council members Ramsdell and Scully and our public commenters. The comments just now about potentially having some surplus dollars to work with. Fascinating. And fascinating public comment tonight. Love hearing the perspectives of everybody who came in to share and surprisingly said, you know, maybe not this project right now. So anyway, I love hearing all of the input that we're getting on this one. I too, you know, just a week ago was sharing about my experience speaking with the kind of the no car folks and what it's like to try to get around Shoreline in something other than a car. So I'm very interested in projects like this, and the upcoming and ongoing question will be, yes, we may have some money now. Is this the project that makes the most sense right now when we do hear about 180th, when we do hear about 10th, and just opportunities to get people to light rail stations? So I'm in favor of all this bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure, and I'm not quite yet sure if I'm convinced that this is the right one to work on right now, but I'm not opposed to it necessarily either. So anyway, there's a waffly conversation for you now, and we'll see where it ends up with all the other, the offerings and presentations that come with us with the mid-buy. But anyway, sincere appreciation to everybody who spoke and for giving us the opportunity to talk about it now.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Mark.
Thank you. Just for, so I understand how things work, how do you get garbage across? If we did, I think we're all on the one-way protected bike lane. How does that work? How does that happen?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet, to be honest. I think we either need to figure out designated collection areas kind of in concentrated sections along the street, or it's possible and maybe likely, I would lean toward this probably being the solution, that they actually end up as a pylon themselves during staging times. So they would be carted to the buffer area, essentially, and hopefully and theoretically placed nicely back there when they're picked up. So that's coordination work that would need to occur with Recology, and we haven't started those discussions yet, but that would be my inclination would be that would, yeah, that's how it would work, yeah.
Thank you. I know Seattle has a bunch of these, I never watched garbage. So yeah. Thank you. What happens to the parking?
Yeah, the parking would have to be removed for any option.
So there's cars parked there all the time. What does that mean?
Yeah, so those cars would need to find a different place to park. There are side streets that have fairly ample parking, and the parking along 200th is utilized, but not heavily. I would say the parking demand is not high by any stretch. But yeah, they would either need to find places to park on their private property or on side streets nearby. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, one of the wonderful things about this project is that it's a toe on the water. We know we have a whole lot of problems that we need to fix associated with bike infrastructure, and trying to learn some of how you do things on a 2-block stretch is a whole lot easier than a 10-block stretch or one that has more complications. Would you define this as a pilot-like project that is relatively straightforward, relatively simple to learn about how to do this? Is that a fair way to describe this?
You're welcome to call it whatever you'd like. yes. I would say it is a fairly straightforward project in that if we're talking even specifically about the one-way option, mm-hmm. It is a fairly straightforward project in that it is pretty pure striping, like curb to curb. There is not that leads to less complication overall, mm-hmm. right? On a smaller scale, it does let us work out the kinks of how we sweep and how we collect trash and how we deal with mail delivery and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it does lend itself to a sort of pilot project feel, I would say.
Thank you. I think that's something that we need to consider as we think about the magnitude of bicycle infrastructure and pedestrian infrastructure issues. I'm all in with Councilmember Roberts said on that it's, you know, really, we have a lot to do, and trying to figure out how to do it is easier said than done. So thank you again. We always appreciate, or I always appreciate seeing you, Ms. Dudinsky. You always do such a great job explaining things. Thank you.
Likewise.
Thank you. Councilmember Poby.
Thank you. I think it was a fantastic presentation, and Councilmembers Scully and Ramsdale even clarified it the more. Just a clarifying question here. You had mentioned that this project will go into, the capital project will go into place by 2028. However, it's coming to Midbuy, which is next month. What are we looking to spend now against 2028?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the point of that is that our project management resource is really fully scheduled out to 2028 or through 2027 specifically, which means that all of the staff that work on delivering capital projects have a full plate all the way out until the end of 2027. We can't kind of slot this into some resource that doesn't exist. And so that's why the earliest that design would begin would be in 2028.
So it's design?
Yes.
Payment for design. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I too want to express my appreciation for Councilmember Scully and Ramza bringing this forward. And as Councilmember Robertson said, I mean, I think having these discussions early in the process, especially in the year where we have, a relatively light agenda compared to other years, is very helpful. We can see and understand these projects much better than 15 minutes or 10 minutes in a budget presentation. The goal is right. The we want to make sure, and I think our existing bicycle plan calls for protected bike infrastructure, especially mm-hmm. in the proper areas. And so, I mean, in terms of where we want to go, I think that there's no question about that. I think the question really becomes, as was said in public comment, is this the right stretch? Is this the right, and the right time? The right time is the question is, if we're thinking about, as we're working with our partners to build a bridge, if the route changes and moves closer either to straight up the trail behind Aurora Village or goes some other, I mean, takes a different route, I mean, does this infrastructure make sense if the route is, as the route changes? Then the other question sort of is, I mean, in my mind, where are the rights? Is this the, again, this goes back to sort of, is this the right street? sort of generally when there's other streets across the city that don't have any bicycle infrastructure. What I do support is moving forward with getting purchase, regardless of what happens here, moving forward with the mini sweeper. I mean, it does sound like there is a absolute need for that, and sort of walking through our park system and walking through, I mean, even the Inner River Trail, I mean, getting those, our existing facilities clean so that they are accessible to walkers, to bicyclists, and to individuals who are on pushing or using other different wheels is important. So, I mean, I think there's value in the sweeper. But I do think, and I think I've said this before, I mean, as we're designing and redesigning our roadways, we really should be putting bicycle, this kind of protected bike lanes or stronger, because I do agree that there is, mm-hmm. these poles are just, they're a little bit just,
absolutely.
They're not the greatest. I mean, they're better than nothing, but they're also, but that kind of bicycle infrastructure should be built into all our new street projects, whether it's Meridian. It was disappointing that we had the opportunity to put protected bike lanes there. We can solve some of these problems, but I'm interesting to sort of see, I'm not quite convinced that this is the right time or right spot. So, but as Councilmember Scully said, I mean, this is thinking about this project in relation to other budget asks. And so we'll see. Yeah. Councilmember.
I was wondering if you could answer the question, though, about the timing of this in relation to a potential bridge.
Meaning, is this the conflict? If the bridge takes a different route, does it? Yeah, I can answer that. I would say that this, not countering the commentary we heard tonight. I understand and appreciate that. I still think redundant facilities are important, regardless of what path the bridge strikes. I don't see implementing protected bike lanes on 200th as wasted resource. Regardless of what path the bridge strikes, because they'll still be able to be used by people in the community headed to destinations that aren't the bridge, which there are many. So they're still useful regardless.
I think Councilor Robertson.
Thank you. I have a clarifying question about just the budget process in this case. So let's say that this goes through and is approved, hypothetically, for however, even the lower number, whatever the number is. What you're saying is that we couldn't even approach it until 2028. So are we basically then taking that nugget of money and setting it aside to be spent in 2028? Is that how that works?
These are bigger questions than maybe I should. No, I can speak to these.
Does that make sense, my question?
Yeah, it does.
We would reserve the money for that construction at that time, yes.
And so then I feel like every time we, you know, put projects aside, they increase in costs, right? The
yes.
costs are suddenly, it's double.
I did inflate the estimate.
Okay, thank
so
you.
We're set there.
But then the other thing that what occurred to me as this conversation was taking place is the fact that if we are completely booked out now until 2028, that there isn't a single other new idea that we're going to be able to start on. So know whether or not we come up, whether this is the right bike infrastructure project or there's another one, we're not starting on anything for at least 2 years.
On the capital side, I would say that's fairly accurate. Without additional resource, it would be nearly impossible to do that.
Well, that's pretty consistent in putting items on the capital list and then mm-hmm. prioritizing. And then as funding comes available, those projects then go into design and then ultimately construct it. But yes, if we had all the money in the world, we can get a lot,
hire new
a lot
people.
Faster,
yeah, right.
This is kind of the normal process in how we identify projects, put them on a list, and then eventually fund them.
Thank you. Just for me, it's just good to have that holistic understanding. Thank you.
Any Councilmember Rose?
Yeah, and I've got a question about, let's say if we were going to be doing, decide in the future, 180th would be the route we would want to have protected bike lanes. Like, approximately how many blocks would that be that we're talking, 180?
For 180th?
Yeah.
It's between 10th and 15th is my understanding of the commentary.
About five blocks?
Yeah.
So we'd be looking for a similar one-way project would be double that, 600,000, 700,000, if we were looking at that as another option?
I can't give you an apples-to-apples comparison there because I don't have the street kind of pavement width readily available
right,
off the
right.
top of my head.
Sure.
And I'm not sure if we have the adequate width to simply restripe. I don't know if it's as simple as restriping on 180th.
Yeah.
There are sections that are, 5th Avenue was mentioned earlier. There's a missing segment between 155th and the 148th station. That is a simple restripe. So there are, those examples exist out there. But yeah, it's a little difficult to give you a complete comparison.
Okay, but they'd be significantly longer than this two block section that the 1200.
I mean, if our blocks were all equal distance, then yes. I actually don't think that's true in this case. I think 10th to 15th is probably shorter, if not similar to
okay.
Ashworth to Meridian.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any further comments? Deputy Mayor.
You may not know the answer to this question. So
that's okay. I'll give it a try.
Tell me if that's the case. The mini sweeper, which you could see generate a lot of interest.
Yeah.
And the porous sidewalks is, does the mini sweeper, because we don't have a way to maintain the porous sidewalks now, right?
Correct.
And the mini sweeper would be that avenue?
Do mini sweepers maintain porous sidewalks? I don't know the answer.
Okay.
It's possible. they certainly would. It wouldn't hurt to have a mini sweeper that can kind of lift some of that dirt out.
So I don't know the specifics on the mini sweepers, but it would depend because the mini sweeper obviously would brush material and debris off of the sidewalk, whether they have the same vacuum
suction,
capacity and the suction that we usually use for maintaining the permeable pavement. I don't know. It's probably likely a lot of those mini sweepers can be used for multiple things.
Yeah.
I just haven't looked at them that closely.
I'd be curious, should you find yourself having
cool.
time?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so another question. Do we have an idea of like how heavily like 10th and 180th is used by cyclists compared to the interurban? Are more cyclists using the interurban or more cyclists using 10th and 180th?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I would suspect the interurban's fairly high, you know, relatively speaking, but it is a little bit of a build it and they will come scenario because there are no facilities on 10th and 180th. I will say that I am surprised. The studies that we have done post-station opening, I'm actually glad to see and somewhat surprised to see the level of biking and pedestrian use that I have seen in that Z between the station and North City. Improvements are sorely needed, that's for sure.
Yeah. So that could be one of their priorities. If, let's say, if this does get approved,
we'll learn a lot from this, this project and moving forward. Yeah, I mean, I walk the interurban every day, ride it twice a week, and I just see a ton of cyclists on the interurban.
Yeah.
But I do not ride my bike on 10th or 180th, so I don't know. But
yeah,
I do,
we can follow up
it.
With some data. Yeah. I mean, we have, I think, at least some representative counts for both. So.
Okay, yeah, that'd be really helpful. Thanks.
Any further discussion? I know we'll see this as a potential budget amendment when the budget comes back for adoption.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, seeing no other business, this meeting is adjourned.